This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Alright, hello pod people. Today you are blessed with Benjamin and Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey pod people, how we doing?
I don't think they're going to answer you. This is a recorded podcast.
That's my B.
All good. Hey, Steve, I got a question for you, player.
Yeah, what's up?
So, see, like, normally before we do the podcast, I actually warm up my vocal cords. So, I kind of need to do that. I didn't get a chance this morning. We're recording pretty early. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, you know, it's your exercises.
Alright. He was a skater boy, 15 years later, boy, he wasn't good enough for her. Now he's a superstar, slamming on his guitar, your pretty face, he what he's worth. Sorry, boy, but you missed out. What tough luck that boy's right now. Ooh, yeah, that feels better. I think I'm ready to go.
That is an aggressive way to stretch your vocal cords.
Man, yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? I gotta make sure I'm on point. So, yeah, I feel like I'm sounding good now. I'm ready to do this. Do you need to do anything to start, or are you good to go?
No, I think you've done enough for both of us.
So, Steven, tell me about your first concert experience.
First concert experience. Let's see. I think my first real concert I went to was a band called Dink.
Dink?
And I was with a friend of ours, Phil.
Pop, yeah.
If you remember. Oldest sister and her boyfriend drove us there because we weren't able to drive ourselves. It was up in Cleveland, and it was kind of like kind of a punk rock show. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was the first time I ever saw or participated in the pit.
Very cool. What's your favorite band?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite band? Or just throw out one favorite.
Right now, Ben Folds Five.
Ben Folds Five. Yeah, like, you've always liked Ben Folds Five. Ben Folds Five is amazing. I'm not gonna even argue there. What would you do to get Skybox tickets to Ben Folds Five?
Is this kind of like, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Oh, it's a lot like that. Yes, sir.
Okay, alright, what would I do? What would I be willing to do? Well, obviously, money's out, because, you know, you could buy tickets for her if you have the money, but if you're asking me what would I do, what would I be willing to do? Let's see. I would be willing to, let a spider crawl on me.
Ah, yeah, you're afraid of spiders, you wussy.
Yeah.
That's not even bad. Yeah. I've let giant tarantulas walk up my arms.
You're a psychopath.
No, it's because spiders aren't that bad. Come on, man.
No, they're awful. They're awful. Spiders don't even have bones in their legs. It's all fluid, and they walk by changing the fluid pressure.
I mean,
they're a hydraulic system.
I mean, insects have exoskeletons. That none of them have bones, so yes, I know that.
That's horrifying. It's also when they die, their legs curl up like that. Yeah. Because there's no bones in there.
Oddly, I've taken an entomology class. Yeah. So that's your most extreme, spiders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like a fear factor. Kind
yeah.
Of thing. Like, what would I be willing to endure?
Would you kill someone to see Ben's Folds Five?
No. No. Well, I mean, is this somebody I know? No.
Fair enough. No. So Robert Lyons, he's 52 now. He was 36 at the time of the crime. Was convicted for killing his mother because she wouldn't purchase him Skybox tickets to Avril Lavigne in 2008. What do you think about that, player?
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty fucking dumb, right?
And look, you know what? Avril Lavigne, she was awesome.
Amazing.
When she first came out, you know, we were a little older than her, but not that much, and she brought a real new aesthetic to the pop music genre, and she was fun to watch, but
yeah,
like, That's what you're willing to kill for?
Right.
An ever-living ticket?
I mean, I was 20... What were we? Were we like 21, 22 when Avril came out? She was 16?
Yeah.
And I bought her album immediately because it was that good. Like, to be like a 21-year-old boy and buy a 16-year-old's album, 16-year-old girl's album nonetheless, like, not to sound super sexist, but like, at 21, you're just not buying 16-year-old girls' albums, right? It's not a thing. So she had to be hella good.
No. Most of the 16-year-olds that were putting out music at the time were, you know, like Britney Spears.
Right.
Right. Christina Aguilera.
Where we liked to look, but we didn't like to purchase.
But Avril Lavigne, she had some really good songs. She was fun, but he killed his mother to go see her because his mother wouldn't buy tickets for him to go see Avril Lavigne.
Exactly.
You're 36. Why don't you have a job?
Right.
Why aren't you paying for it?
Right. I mean, we're going to find out that Robert Lyons had some mental health issues, which I'm sure isn't a shock to anybody, but... Let's go over the crime a little bit as far as, like, what happened and et cetera. Because it's not just, like, she said no and then he, like, stabbed her and she's done. Like, so he starts bludgeoning her with a...
Now, when did this happen? Take us back to the time.
Yeah, March 14th, 2008.
2008.
Yeah, the police found her body in their shared condo. But he started this incident when they were fighting over the purchasing of the Skybox tickets. He wanted her to contact a friend to buy them, right? And she said no. And he starts bludgeoning her with a cognac bottle.
Cognac.
So
I don't know if that's a classy murder weapon or as a trashy murder weapon as you.
Right? And I'm wondering if alcohol was involved. Like, was he drunk? Did he just polish off this bottle and now he's fighting with mom? What's going on with the bottle? What do you think?
There might be a bottle of cognac in my house. There might be. But if there is, it's up in, like, a top shelf, pushed back behind, like, a bunch of, you know, pots and pans that
right.
You use. Or, like, so to have a bottle of cognac...
Readily available. Like, it's your first right. Grab.
That's the first thing. Either one, it's being drunk right then and there, either by him or by mom, or two, that's a regular thing. Cognac is a regular thing. Despite the way that cognac, the name cognac sounds, I don't know too many people who, calm down at the end of a day with a nice glass of cognac.
No, right?
But I feel like that's a cheap drunk for people with less money.
Yeah. So his strikes with the bottle were to her head. After striking her in the head with the cognac bottle, he stabs her 9 times.
Jesus.
Yeah, so he stabs her 9 times, and he actually uses 2 different knives, and they said that the impact of the knives, the reason he uses 2 different knives is because his impact was so hard, this was such a brutal murder, that he snapped one blade and the second one he bent. They're probably cheap-ass knives, too, because, yeah. I mean, but, like, still...
God damn.
Right?
You're right. He's definitely got some mental illness issues.
Yeah.
But, like, imagine the rave that he has flown into to just grab that bottle and just whack her
in the head.
The head, knock her down, and then grab the knives, the first knife, and start going and hitting her, you know. And then... to have the blade snap off, to go and get another one to do that. I can't imagine the screaming he was doing while he was attacking her.
Right. Especially when you see this guy's face, and pod people, you will, because it's going to be cemented to this episode. So, yeah. But that said, you were talking about having cognac readily available, and why are their knives readily available? My guess is, you know, this is probably happening in the kitchen. Or it would have to be premeditated. If you're in the living room with 2 knives and a cognac bottle, then you plan this shit, right?
Well, and have you seen, like, where they live? Like, is this a... I'm trying to look back.
It says it's a condo, but I didn't see any pictures of it, yeah.
All right, so, like, living room and kitchen might essentially be the same thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of condos, it's got a small space in there.
Depending on the size, anything's readily available, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after he stabs her 9 times, after it gets worse, after he stabs her 9 times, he proceeds to pour Drano and other cleaning supplies on her. And this wasn't like some weird attempt to cover the crime scene. From his own volition, he was trying to humiliate her.
What?
Yes. He admits to all this and then says he's trying to humiliate her. Now we do learn...
Great.
As we said, we get into a little bit of his mental history. He has... All it says in the article is bipolar disorder. I would assume he has bipolar 1, just because I think that this was probably tripped off or started by a manic episode. The difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, bipolar 1, you have to have at least one acute manic episode, which is a week or longer, with an extreme mania that would hinder you and your life functions, where bipolar 2 is going to be more depression with hypomania, which is lower grade mania episodes that don't last up to a week, right? So... My guess is BP1, but, like, it just says bipolar disorder. But that said, he tells the police right off the jump, and he testifies in court. Like, this guy's very adamant that him bludgeoning his mother over Avril Lavigne tickets had nothing to do with his already diagnosed disorder. Why would you admit to killing her and then say, but that diagnosable disorder that you know I have, it had nothing to do with that? Why is he that stupid?
Like, no, I really wanted to kill her. This is definitely not how it's
been. Right.
Wow.
Right? And I wanted to humiliate her with some Drano.
Now, back in the day, one of my favorite albums was Johnny Cash Live at Folsom Prison.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash He did a live concert for the prisoners there. Do you think there's a chance that Lyons thinks that Avril Lavigne might be following Johnny Cash's footsteps, so he's trying to assure himself that he's in jail when she does her prison concert?
I mean, bro, I don't want to give this guy that much credit that he's thought this through. I don't know, man.
Next, did he say, like, it's definitely not my mental illness, and I've also been planning this out for quite some time? Yes, it looks like it's sloppy, but it's definitely premeditated.
But I definitely, as soon as she said no, had this in the works.
I will kill again. Please arrest me.
Oh, so get this. After he douses her with all these cleaning products and whatnot, he then goes, and we got another speculation. It's like the fucking Dooley DoorDash. It's like the Shabusiness DoorDash. He then goes shopping, but it doesn't say where he went or what he bought. What do we think that Robert Lyons went to purchase after humiliating his mother's body after stabbing her and smacking her in the head with a cognac bottle?
Now, there are a lot of possibilities for this. Is he going out shopping for equipment to hide her body? Is this the next step? Does he need, like, garbage bags? And,
I don't think he's hiding shit.
No. Is he going out to get Afro's latest album?
I think that's closer to the truth. He's like, oh, I saw that poster at Target, and now I just took mom's credit card out of her fucking wallet, so I'm good to go. Or maybe he's going to, what was it? Ticketmaster, right? Like, one of those machines or whatever, and now he's stolen his mom's thing. He's going to buy his own Skybox tickets? I don't know.
Did they find him, like, having pop tickets, maybe?
No, they didn't. When they captured him, actually, this gets even worse, right? He goes shopping, and then they catch him in a Hooters. Now, that makes sense to me, because if you're pretty sure you're about to go down, you want to see all the boobies you can see, right?
Oh, my God.
He went to Hooters.
I'll tell you what. The wings at Hooters are outstanding. You can't. I will fuck with some...
Don't knock them till you try them, people.
Right. Maybe there was, like, a hostess there that reminded him of Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the best he could do. He was like, you know what? If I can't see Avra, maybe I'll go down and see Hannah, the hostess at Hooters, who has kind of a punk look herself.
Yes. Good Lord.
I want to get back to what he was shopping for.
Yeah. What do you got? I think condoms. He was about to go get some bang on.
Oh.
He's like, I need condoms. I'm about to go to Hooters. That seems like the mentality this guy would have. Because, like, look, I know that all we know about him is bipolar disorder. But I'm thinking that there's cognitive deficiencies.
Yeah. Now, was he was living with his mom in this condo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and the reasoning is because of his extreme psychological disorders, she had taken him in. It was less than a year before her murder. She did not want to take him in. She tried her best to help him to find other solutions, but he was going to be homeless, so she took her son in. So she was doing the good motherly thing there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the state of mental health in this country is...
horrendous.
Ridiculous. And why we don't have things for a woman like this. Because I have to imagine she was just at her wit's end. Like, she doesn't know what to do. You know, you want to...
Right. You also have to keep in mind that he was pushing 40, which means she was probably, unless she had him young, she's pushing 70.
What was she?
Right.
She was... Didn't it say she was 60?
Oh, she was 61. My bad. So she did have him. Yeah. She had him hecka young.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still... She's 4 years from being considered an older adult by society standards. So, I mean,
well,
she doesn't...
61, you should have your house emptied.
Yes.
By kids, or close to it. And you should be ready for your back nine.
You know, right.
Your the time when you get to relax a little bit. You should be,
absolutely.
Years away from retiring, hopefully, from a job, or your... You know, like maybe you're still working, but you're slowing it down. You're not, pushing as far. And you get to, this is what you've worked your whole life for. And then she's got to take him back in and help him out. And it seems like he probably falls into that gray area. Because, you know, there are some people with like cognitive delays or mental health issues who you know from a young age that this child is not going to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
That this child is going to have to be dependent on me for their lives, and then you brace and plan your life accordingly. If you're that type of person, we see saints like that all the time. People who,
right,
this is the hand I've been dealt. This is what I will do.
Yeah.
And then you have kids who, like him. If you're right about that BP1 diagnosis, which that does sound correct, then he was probably struggling, like straddling the line of dependent and independent his whole life. You know, he's probably
right.
Capable of...
Sometimes he's capable and sometimes he's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but, why don't we need to have a system set up for people like that. So, like, if we have some kind of, like, group home or even in-home support or a better transitional system set up so that people can find those levels of independence that they... are able to have, And
right.
My guess is if it's just mom at home, either dad was not a part of it or left long ago or where dad was in this.
Or at their age, he could have passed as well.
Yeah.
I do want to say, too, I did say that the only thing we knew was bipolar disorder. That was not accurate. They also said that since the age of 11, he also had behavioral issues and anger issues. So those aren't always connected to bipolar disorder. So comorbidly, he also had some conduct disorder issues.
Mm, okay. Well, and so you don't think that those are definitely linked to bipolar?
I'm saying they can be linked comorbidly. They don't have to be. Is all I'm saying is if you're bipolar, that
gotcha.
Doesn't mean that you have anger issues, right? Necessarily, but they can
gotcha.
Be.
Well, yeah. It maybe you're more likely to have those issues if you were never either taught or learned how to manage your BP,
yeah.
bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the thing too. So from like an early age, having mental health professionals who are able to help people deal with the issues that they have, so that they can live their best version of life.
Yeah. And here's a circular problem to throw at you as far as parenting. A lot of people like to blame parents, right, when things go wrong with kids. And they'll say, well, if they had only raised the kid better, then this and that. But some kids that have disorders, they're harder to raise. They aren't raising Judy, who's going to get straight A's in high school and is loved by everyone. They're raising someone who, at the age of 11, has anger and conduct disorder issues, right? So... we can blame parents, but and yes, you want the parent to always love their child and do the best they can for them, but some parents have harder jobs than others. Like,
that's true.
All
yeah,
children aren't
yeah,
equal.
Yeah.
So.
No, right. And so, you wonder what kind of difficulties he had growing up,
right.
And what kind of help and assistance he had, she had, they had. So, now, The Drano.
Yeah.
Alright. I want to talk about the murder.
Let's talk about the murder. Go back to the murder. Do it.
So you got basically three pieces of it, right? You've got the cognac bottle.
Yeah.
Alright. So, I'm imagining him standing there like, but Mom, I want to see Avril Lavigne!
Right. I want to see Avril, Mama!
And just starting to flip out. So there, alright. Grabs a cognac bottle. Boop. Poof. Right?
Right.
She goes down. I get how that happens.
You stop and you're like, oh shit, I hit Mama, and then you try to revive her, right?
Can't believe I've done this.
Right.
So then he's like, this is it. He's been, I would be interested if he's ever been either, arrested.
Yeah.
He's ever been domestic issues where he's attacked her before.
Right, or has he ever dated? Has he ever dated, and were there domestic issues, right?
Yeah.
I'm from his picture, not to be judgmental, but I am. It strikes me as never dated ever.
And for a 36-year-old man in 2008 to be obsessed with Avril Lavigne...
Never dated ever.
...indicates this isn't the guy who...
Yeah, right, and I'm glad you said from 2008, because... I'm not obsessed with her by any means, but I would go to an Avril Lavigne concert as a 45-year-old male. But the reason is because, again, I had her album when I was 20-something, and Avril's close to my age, right? Like, she's a contemporary artist for me.
Yeah. And she was a good artist, and she's got some great songs. And just make sure you put yourself up in, like, the second row or second level, not down in the pit. You don't want to be... elbowing for room with other teenagers.
With the children's.
You're in the adult section.
Right.
Yeah.
And my guess is people like Avril Lavigne are starting to have crowds that are the adult section. But back in 2008, he would have been very out of place, I would think.
Yeah, that would be weird. He'd be the guy that groups of friends were warning each other about. Like, oh my gosh, watch out for that guy by the porta potties.
Right. But the Drano again, you were saying with the Drano, it's like, you got more? Bring it.
Before the Drano, it's the knives.
The knives, yeah.
So he hits her, knocks her down, and there's where you're like, okay, I lost my temper, I flipped out, whatever.
Right, you got a moment to reassess this nightmare.
Right. She's on the ground, she's not yelling at you, you're not in... He goes right for the knives. This has been either brewing or he's attacked her before. Like, he has definitely hit this woman, or he's been... it says behavioral problems.
Since 11. Right. He's probably been wailing on her since he was a kid.
Right. Then he grabs the knife and starts stabbing. So he's got one knife and he's stabbing her. Now, I don't know if you've ever held a knife and stabbed something, like stab a watermelon as hard as you can.
When I was a little kid, I used to stab cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that's not as much give. You take a knife. Because, all these stabbings where you see, somebody get stabbed, 45, 50 times or whatever, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Just take your arm right now and make, a hard stabbing motion. Like, two or three, and my shoulder hurts already.
That's because we're old,
and,
Steve.
We are old. But, so he takes that knife and snaps her, and then the blade snaps off in her body. That's, one, he's hitting bone with that. And
right.
Two, he had to have hurt his hand.
Yeah.
Cut his hand, hurt his hand on that, because it's not like there's a protective hilt on any kitchen knives or anything like that. And I don't know if you've ever, been cutting vegetables and, accidentally got your finger or whatever. It's so easy to slip. And so when he's doing that, the palm of his hand slips down, and he hits it. But despite his pain, despite the fact that she is now beaten and stabbed several times, he goes back for another one.
Yeah.
That kind of the rage is...
It's crazy, right? He's still like, yeah. I want those tickets, mama!
But this is a child... when a child throws a tantrum...
Yes, that's exactly what you see, right? In your head.
This is... Yeah, I in my head, I'm seeing him just flailing and screaming and just like, just flip it out. And so he grabs the other knife, goes back to her. All right. So now she's dead, we assume. We hope. We hope that after at least a couple stabs or...
Yeah, she's not suffering and she's out.
Right. Now the Drano.
Hopefully she was knocked out by the cognac bottle and didn't feel one stab.
Right, that's, we hope.
Because the cognac bottle was to the head.
Right, right. Now, it says Drano and other household cleaning chemicals.
Yes.
Mr. Like, Clean.
Let me get some bleach.
So we talk. Like, what the?
Toilet bowl cleaner.
How is that humiliating?
I don't know. And how do you humiliate someone who's... I mean, I guess you're humiliating their body, but, like, they're not there anymore.
if he... Maybe his lawyer wants him to say humiliate instead of, like, anything else because he doesn't want the idea of him trying to cover up the crime to be something to exacerbate his sentence. Because if you kill somebody, like, you kill somebody, that's obviously murder.
Yeah.
But then you can add on years to the sentence if you have, like, but then again, that's desecration of a corpse.
Right. I don't think this guy was probably smart enough with the law to realize that...
Well, I'm talking about, like, when the lawyer gets hold of him.
Yeah, but he, like, I think he told the police at the scene. I don't know. I don't know when it came out that he was trying to humiliate. You might be right that was a lawyer tactic. Instead of showing that he's trying to cover up the crime, right? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back in the timeline.
Yeah.
So he goes shopping. Now, is this a guy who takes a shower and changes his clothes before?
Or does he go with blood all over himself?
Right.
Showing up to Hooters with blood all over himself and then grabbing ass.
Well, the argument for that is that they found him at Hooters.
Right.
So... The police, I don't think the police, you know, would have known he was there unless the people at Hooters
called right.
And told them he was there. So either one...
He's covered in blood.
Covered in blood and out of Target looking for whatever. Hooters, and that's when the police finally catch up. Or two, like, this is late during the evening and it's on the news now. And the ladies at Hooters know exactly who he is, so when he does show up later, they've all seen.
Yeah, they make a phone call.
Oh my god, that's the dude who killed his mom. Send him over there, let's call the cops. You know, like, because I don't see another reason for the police to show up to Hooters. Unless there's already a cop there, because that probably could have been, and like, hey, I think I'm looking for that guy. But, yeah.
Yeah. Man.
That's my guess.
Yeah. So, and that all sounds reasonable, but I tell you, between the bottles, the knives, the Drano, the other cleaning supplies, the shopping, the Hooters, why do you have to go and make things so complicated?
Why gotta make things so... And now, you know what? You're gonna have to sing. I don't have it. Sorry.
It sounds like he was losing grip. I don't know how that one goes, but that was the name of the album, actually. Losing Grip.
Well, he lost grip on a knife. He lost grip on a cognac bottle. On reality.
He lost grip on the relationship with his mother. That shit's over. I mean, my guess is, had she survived, they still would not be speaking.
This is a guy who has... I can't imagine that he has ever contributed positively to humanity.
Okay, so if you were in, let's say, grade school, and... You are one of the captains. What order are you picking him in kickball?
It depends. If he's in rage out mode, he might be kickball. But I'm probably trying to stay away from him.
Yeah, say I forgot about rage out mode because I was thinking he was picked last every single time.
I mean, from the look of him, I don't think that rage out is usually very athletic. And from the sound of the murder, it was a horrible murder, but it sounded sloppy and kind of like a tantrum murder.
Right.
Like, you know,
it sounds like a mess. It literally sounds like what you were saying, right? Where you've got like a 5-year-old kid that's like throwing a fit in a store because you're not buying him a Power Ranger toy. but the kid's not big enough to murder you. So and nor would they, probably, because your kid probably loves you.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to remember kids that we went to school with. Because if the pod community doesn't realize this, you and I have been known each other since like seventh grade.
So right.
We went to school. We knew kids. I'm trying to think of, and I'm not going to say any names, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, a few of the kids I can think of that fall into this realm, they would have been like the handicapped kids, right? They would have been.
They would have been in separate rooms, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you remember there was a kid on the wrestling team and the football team who, like, got kicked off.
Yes, I know that kid. He actually was a pretty nice dude, though. I like that guy. I mean, I knew him from wrestling.
He was a heck of an athlete, too.
But he did have rage issues, yeah. He flipped a table at a banquet, right?
Yeah, I think he smashed his face into his helmet once after a football game.
Yeah, I heard he, this unnamed person once had their helmet fall off in a football game, and then they still headbutted someone else's helmet so much that they cut their head open.
Maybe that's the story I heard. Oh. But yeah. Like you said, on you know, most days he was fine to be around.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
He just had those triggers. But I'm trying to think of the kids, like, because my son had a kid on his football team, and he knew him from from school, and the kid he would cuss. This is, we're talking about third grade football, right? Third grade. And he would, like, cuss at the coaches, screaming at them. He would yell at the other kids. If anybody did anything that he, like, and he definitely had cognitive issues.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to make fun of the
right.
kid. And, it seemed like, so I talked to Mom a lot, and Mom looked like she was, one, it looked like she was exhausted. It looked like she was just tired. It seemed like she was a little bit of an enabler.
I was going to ask if she was an enabler, but I think, like you said, because she's so tired, you probably just pick your battles, right? Where she needs to be fighting every battle, you can't.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? How much of it was from her inability to progress him forward, and how much of it was just where he was cognitively, and that was all he was going to do? I don't know. It's a hard question to ask, and that's...
Yeah.
My guess is it's like you were saying earlier, the mental health system is so jacked up, right, that this is a person who clearly didn't get the treatment they needed when they were young, and then Mom probably didn't even know how to completely handle him. By the time he's 36 and living with her, he's a ticking time bomb and shouldn't even be in the general public, let alone living with a 61-year-old woman, right? But there was a lot of things that didn't happen correctly for him to get from the young age of having conduct issues to being 36 and murdering his mother.
Right. And, like, you wonder what the episodes were beforehand. I mean, like, my wife has a cousin who suffers from schizophrenia, and he had some violent outbursts against his parents, and for a while his parents detached from it, and he suffered for it, and it's hard for a parent to leave a child that they know is going to suffer out there to be homeless, to be whatever. And I don't think they made the right choice.
Right.
But they also were under physical attack. Like, there were moments that they were being, that they were in some. This mom, this guy, if this is the first violent attack, I would be shocked.
It would be super shocking. And it would be like, what the fuck happened, right?
It flips out like that. Yeah. And so, I get wanting to be a parent to your child, but if you're in a position where you can't physically, you're in physical danger, you have to seek other ways.
Absolutely.
Again, our country doesn't have that many options. We need to have better options, and we don't.
Right.
And there's no telling. I mean, if she had refused letting him move in, he might have killed her for that.
Right. But, man, this was coming. This was coming for a while, I have to assume.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump a little into the trial at this point, right? So it took...
He went to full trial.
Yeah, he did, which is kind of weird, right? Because you would think since he admitted everything. But I think the major thing was that they were trying to get him knocked down to murder two instead of murder one, saying that it was unintentional, which is crazy because how the fuck could that be unintentional? But I guess by unintentional, they're probably more so meaning that it wasn't premeditated. It was just a snap.
Right, which would be...
Well, and they were probably hoping that there would be a little bit more deep for somebody who has mental illness and that sort of thing, but...
Yeah.
No, unintentional ended when he grabbed the second knife.
Right, right. I mean,
like, the cognac bottle, he flips out. Not good, should go to jail, but you get what he, you know, what happened. The first knife is, all right, now we're definitely... this is attempted murder at the very least. But when that thing breaks off and he goes to the second one, this is full-on first-degree murder. And the Drano, give me a break.
Right. Whew. All right, so the jury only deliberated for 2 hours before convicting him of first-degree murder?
It's time for them to, like, order lunch and then fill out the paperwork.
Right, but, like, to me, still, it's like, I get it that that's super fast. But it took 2 hours to convict a dude who told you that he bludgeoned his mom for, like, skybox tickets? Like, still seems like an excessive amount of time. I feel like you just walk in there, and then, like, 2 minutes later you come back and you're like, yeah, that guy did what he said he did.
Yeah. You know, I gotta admit, because the jurors are given instruction. They are not to talk about the trial at all. They're not, even with each other. Like, they can't. Then when they're sent back to the jury room, or when they are, you know, sequestered at night or wherever, or if they're allowed to go home at night, they are not to speak of the trial with anyone, not even with themselves, right? But you're sitting here at the trial, and let's say that the trial took 2 days. Let's say, you know, max, because I don't know what kind of defense he put up, because it doesn't seem like he put up much.
No.
Other than, like, Hey, I've got all these problems.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't go for, like, insanity,
right?
Which is really hard to get. It's really hard to get, but that's not the route they took. So when your client's not going for insanity and he confessed to the murder, what do you do, right?
Right. Yeah, I think you're just trying to, like,
lower the plea, right?
And say, yeah, like, look, he's, yeah, I'm good. And so that's 2 days of them sitting here listening to the story that we're just talking about. I would imagine that when they finally get back to the jury room, and they're finally allowed to talk, you gotta imagine they're like, what the fuck was that?
What the Jesus fuck just Christ happened?
Insane!
They're like, Avril's good, but I don't know about that good.
I bet about 45 minutes of it was a sing-along.
I think that's the first thing they did in the trial, was they're like, okay, everyone, you're going to sit through Avril's first album before we discuss this. And then they push play. And then they just sit there with their arms crossed.
Right? And so I bet a lot of it was just them, like, going, holy shit, was that what I thought it was? Were you guys on the same page? What the fuck is wrong with this guy? And then the rest of it, I think that there's quite a bit of paperwork that they have to fill out and, like, and check boxes on.
Yeah.
So that everything is...
And they have to write up their statement, right? Like, we, the jury, find the defendant guilty, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I guess that's pretty straightforward, but...
Right. And I think you have to give enough time for everybody to, like, air out how they feel about it, you know? Because, like, if there's any issue of, like, oh, well, yeah, but, man, he's so mentally ill. And, you know, it's a weird trial to be on, because sometimes, like some heinous murders, it the trigger is a rational trigger, and, you know, what the person did was horrible, and but it's a logical progression of it.
Right.
Like, this was not a logical...
Not a logical progression at all.
No.
Mom, can I see Avril Lavigne? No, you can't. Why not? You're ruining my life. I hate you. I hate you too, son, is probably said. And then... Wham! Cognac bottle. Knives, Drano.
Knives, Drano. Now let me go get myself a piece of pie from Target, and then I'm going to Hooters for a wing. Yeah.
Hooters!
Do you think he was flirting with chicks at Hooters, or do you think he just, like, walked in and ate and got arrested?
This is a dude who stares at his waitress, but doesn't say anything.
Oh, so he's me.
No. Because I don't think you stare. I think this is a dude who doesn't socially understand what staring is, and so I think he glares.
He stares even when they catch him.
Yeah. Oh. I don't think he, and then just doesn't say anything. I think this would be a nightmare for them.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. This would be the dude that every Hooter waitress says, "I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I fucking knew that guy was gonna kill someone."
Yeah.
I didn't know it'd be his mama.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was gonna be me.
That's why. Yeah. That's why three of us walked together to our cars at night. Yeah. That guy.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Right. We wait for the fry cook to be done cleaning the station before we leave.
The fry cook is always a ninja.
Yeah. This is his Hooters. Like, he's been there. I guarantee you they knew who he was. I would love to hear a statement from them. You know?
Yeah, I feel like he's one of those people that doesn't even realize that why he likes going to Hooters. He just goes there like it's a regular restaurant. He's like, "I really like this one," and then stares at people, but he doesn't realize that that's why he's there.
I don't know, man. I think he knows exactly why he's there, and I think, he has done things in public that have made people uncomfortable.
I would hope so, and I don't mean I hope that he's been making people uncomfortable. Like, I want people uncomfortable. I mean, to violently kill your mother over Avril tickets just all of a sudden would, like we've said earlier, would just be fucking weird, right? Like, I hope you've been super creepy your whole life.
When his picture went up in the news after this happened, there were dozens of people around Chicago that went, "Oh, that's that dirty motherfucker I sat next to on the bus."
Yes.
Like, "Ooh, oh my God, that was that guy that was sitting on a park bench staring at my kids."
Like, yes.
And if he ever was employed, all of his ex-coworkers were like, "I knew that dude would get arrested one day."
Yeah, I've never liked working with him.
That guy always gave me the creeps. Yeah, he's not like a Dahmer or like a Ted Bundy, where like people are like, "Oh, he was the nicest man," right? Like, they were probably all like, "He was creepy as fuck."
Well, those two particularly were, they were cognitively sound in that, like, they could, you know, they were successful in their careers.
Yeah.
They were able to assimilate themselves to society when they needed to or wanted to.
Right. The problem with sociopaths and narcissists is they can hide, right?
Yeah.
They can hide, and people like them because they can put on that social charm.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were predators. In the animal kingdom, they're the ones hunting their prey.
They're the alphas.
In the animal kingdom, this dude, this dude is the bird that can't land straight.
Right.
Like, this is,
this is a guy that if he had any cognitive ability, we'd be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, or maybe he would have actually, like...
been normal?
Been functional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it sounds like this was a crime of frustration.
Yeah.
A frustration in life that he had no real control over. You know, no ability to do anything because he was so limited.
All right, so his mother actually has a twin sister, and her name is Pat Lowry. And in reaction to the jury's decision, she says, "I think they made the right verdict." She said, even though Lyons was an adult, his mother had still tried to help her son, who had struggled with serious psychological and anger problems since he was a teen. And she said her efforts, which included allowing Lyons to move back in with her barely a year before she was slain because he needed a place to live, though she resisted pushing him to seek for more of his problems. Like I said, like, more help for his problems. Like, she was trying to get him to get help. She kind of, his mom brings him in knowing he's got issues, right? So her sister acknowledges that, but she says she was a good mother. She did the very best she could. I think that last statement is kind of telling of what we were talking about. She did the very best she could, and I don't have any doubt of that. I'm not trying to put her down. I'm saying the more issues that a child has, right, the parents are most likely going to be, from a visual standpoint, less perfect than other parents because they've got a lot more they're doing, right? They've got a lot more to deal with. If your kids have conduct disorder, if your kids have any psychological disorder, if they've got ADHD, right, you've got more to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Autism.
And it takes so much patience to be able to handle these, because especially if you have a child who doesn't have those issues, and you know how, you know, the normal way they process information and they learn lessons. And then you have a child who struggles cognitively. It takes so much patience to be able to watch them make the same mistakes over and over and over again, and for them not to get what's happening. And with even with the best possible intentions in mind, it's still difficult to hold everything together.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound like she was trying her very best, and she put herself in an impossible situation. So. Yeah, I feel terrible for her, and I wish she had had more resources to help her. I bet that cognac was for her, to keep her sane, because that must have been the worst year of her life.
Right, she's dealing with a lot. His attorneys actually, I missed this part earlier, but it sheds a little possible light. I'm not saying that it's true, right? We don't know what the truth is, but his court-appointed attorneys asked jurors to convict him of second-degree murder, a lesser crime. That carries 4 to 20 years. So their main goal was to get him to the lesser crime, which we had talked about. But they argued that Lyons, who has a history of bipolar disorder, didn't intend to kill his mother, but overreacted when Bullock, that's his mother, brandished a kitchen knife, as they argued. So they're saying that he whacks her in the head with the cognac because she pulled the knife on him. Initially.
After she threatened him with a bush of bullshit.
Bullshit, right? It sounds like a lie.
I bet she's in the kitchen cooking when he comes up to talk to her. Do you know what I mean? I bet she's making something, and that's why she has a knife, if she had one at all.
Yeah.
But there's knives all around. But, no. Like, well, the only way I see that is if he's been beating on her already.
Right.
Like, you know, over this past year. If he's gotten physical with her,
then she might want to defend herself if they ever argue, right?
Yeah,
and she can tell the escalation of the argument if they've been in these before.
Yeah, maybe he is like ramping up, and he's, you know, and maybe she does. And if she brandishes the knife, like, it was probably because she saw him. He saw him escalating, and she saw him getting ready to turn.
Yeah,
and so she was just scared and grabbed it. But you know,
here's a problem with the knife story, though. Lyons said while being questioned by police that he stabbed Bullock twice after she threatened him. The problem with that is he stabbed her 9 times. So he stabbed her twice after she threatened him. When did the other 7 stabs come? Just for shits and giggles later?
Right, and he's already hit her with a cognac bottle. She's out. Threat. Neutralized. Like, the stabbing in the back with and then breaking a knife and going back again. Hell no.
Right.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, and the prosecution obviously praises the jurors, saying it was clearly intentional murder, and thank you for not making it second degree, because their story about the knives is ridiculous.
And they probably looked at the guy and was like, if I was his mom, I'd probably carry a knife too.
Right. Yeah, they're saying it's not the same as premeditated, planned out murder, the assistant public defender, Mark Lyons, told the jurors. Which is true.
Yeah.
Right, like, I agree 100%. This guy got what he should have gotten, except that's not all the way true. He got what he should have gotten, but what he really should have gotten was a past history of adequate mental health treatment.
Right, but at this point, this is a dude that can't function.
Yeah, he can't be part of society at this point, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if prison will make him better, but hopefully, I know it's prison systems aren't perfect either, but some are connected to mental health systems, and hopefully he's getting help he needs while in prison.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing worse than our mental health systems are our prisons at this point, and what we do with our prisoners when they're in there. I mean, they're in a holding pattern. The only thing they learn to do is to be more suspicious and more devious and more capable half the time. It sucks, because this is a guy that you wonder, like, was he doomed from the start?
Right.
He so far gone that, or was there a chance along the way for him to, you know, to be medicated and helped and functional? But at this point, he's done. There's no, you don't come back from that, and so you hopefully never see the light of day.
Right. Yeah, so speaking of the light of day, you know, when they finally did go to his sentencing, he received 40 years. So I'm sure he's eligible for parole probably before then, but his maximum sentence is 40 years, which would put him at 79. So he probably will see the light of day. I would be hopeful that rage issues and things like that would sort of subside as you age, hopefully, and he probably will be not in the best physical capacity to harm anyone, I would think. Maybe.
One thing, you know, I don't think this is a dude who, unless he is able to get a lot of mental health help in prison, which is not likely, this is not a guy who's going to get better and be able to present himself to a parole board and look like someone who should be out there.
Right.
I don't know why, but he just popped in my head. I see that same face, which, like I said, pod people, you will all see the face because I'm going to put it on the episode like we always do. But in my head, like when he's about to get out, when he's trying to go for early parole, he's got like long white hair plus that face.
I don't think this is a guy that's going to be able to prove that, like, oh, here, I've done this while I'm in prison, and I can be a member of society, you know. That's not. I don't see him as being a good candidate when he gets there. And then on top of that, let's see, if he got 40 years, he was 39 when he was sentenced.
He was 39 when he was sentenced.
39. So that would, like, 40 years would take him to 79.
Right.
Like, let's say 30 years to parole and 69. People don't live that long in prison. Like, people don't age well in prison.
Right.
You know, they do not have access to the care and to the, you know, nutrition and all of that stuff that helps you make longevity. So if he's 69 after 30 years, you know, sitting in there, yeah, that's a dude who's dying in prison.
Yeah, that's a good chance of that.
I could see that for sure. Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Because I think it'll get to a point. I mean, unless, like you said, unless he gets some help while he's in there, I don't see him as being somebody who will present himself well, who will be able to say, oh, look, here's what I can offer society. Because a lot of parole boards, they're just looking at, can you be a functional member of society? Or if we let you out, are you going to need to be institutionalized? Because we might as well just keep you here.
Right.
Because he would probably need to, I mean, he probably needed to be in a mental health long-term living facility instead of a prison. So, like, he'd probably have to go from one to the other, like you said, which would be more costly probably for society.
Yeah, for the state to do that.
Yeah.
So they're if they're you know, looking for parole candidates, I don't think he's going to be one.
Right. So here's my speculative questions for you.
All
right. I had whole scenarios that popped into my head prior to reading these articles that it's like, I gotta take you down the rabbit hole. So my question number one, just for my familiarity, how close would a skybox seat be?
I would think that would be real high up.
That's what I was thinking.
Playing an arena.
Do you know why I'm asking?
Why?
Because my initial thought is, was this gonna be an Avril Lavigne assassination attempt?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
So you think he just really loved Avril, really wanted to go, his mom pissed him to fuck off?
I think he really wanted to go. I think he wanted to, and I wonder if he wanted to go with someone, like if he had friends, or if this was like a skybox for him. Like,
right. Yeah, that's weird, because I don't see him in my mind as having friends, but like, I also don't see going in a skybox alone. I kind of feel like he wanted to go in the skybox with his mom. Like, mom, get us tickets.
Maybe, but no, the skybox would be like the highest like level, and it would probably be like an enclosed little seating area where you would have food and things like that. That would be the cushiest way to see a concert.
Well, that's good, Avril. You were probably not in danger.
No,
but you might be. When this dude turns 79.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
Do you think that he writes Avril from prison saying, wish you were here?
Is that a Pink Floyd song?
It's also an Avril Lavigne song, Wish You Were Here. But yes, it is also a Pink Floyd song. But that said, take away the wish you were here part, do you think this crazy dude's writing Avril every day from prison? It's possible, right?
I think there's probably a better chance that he's writing his Hooter waitress.
He's writing the Hooter waitress. Yeah. And he's like, Hooter waitress, when I get out, make sure you have those Avril Lavigne Skybox tickets. If you look up my history, you will see that that is actually in your best interest.
It is in your best interest to do that. I think she's still touring, isn't she?
Oh, I'm sure she is, still yeah. Out there? Yeah, I think yeah. She has had recent albums, even.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah?
Yeah, I want to say I saw an advertisement for it in the last, like, year or so.
By the way, when I was making his voice as writing to the Hooters waitress, I literally was staring. I have a keyboard in front of me, but instead of touching it, I was in front of my keyboard on my table, typing on my desk with my fingers and making a weird face for no reason, because I'm the only one that knew that was happening until now.
You gotta play it out.
You gotta get up in it. Mm-hmm. You gotta get up in it. Right. Like a Hooter waitress. Whoa! Hey, what? All right. I think I lost Steve. I think Steve's gone.
No, I don't know. I mean, Is he obsessive compulsive? Is that part of his thing? Is he writing letters? Like, maybe. That'd be weird.
I mean, like, give me his day-to-day. If that dude's not writing letters, what would a dude like that do in prison?
He would be a victim.
He would, right? Is he going to be a model prisoner? Does he play chess when he's not being booty pumped? Booty pumped.
I think you're giving a little too much credit for chess. Checkers, maybe?
Checkers, yeah. Is he playing Connect Four? What do we got going on? He got Yahtzee? Yahtzee!
I think this is the dude who stays away from people because he's scared. I think he hangs out at the fringes and just is like... Because if he sticks his nose out, he's going to get, you know, he's going to get bullied. He's going to get beaten down. This is not an alpha male.
Or, when he first got there, because he obviously does have triggers, someone snapped him. He smashed his, like, fucking lunch tray into the floor, snapped it in half, stabbed him with the jagged piece of plastic, like, and he's been in solitary confinement ever since, right? Who knows?
Now, look at that picture. That is not a physically imposing man.
No, but he does snap. We know he has snap, but he also snapped on a 61-year-old woman, which is different than snapping on the 250-pound dude who's trying to make you his bitch.
Who has also committed murder, but...
Yes.
When we talk about him throwing a child's tantrum, that is what I see him doing, just like flipping out and like punching some guy's chest and then that guy laughing at him and then hurting him.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
I mean he's an Avril Lavigne fan. I'm sure there aren't that many, you know, in the prison that he can relate to.
Right. So do you think that he has any jobs in prison? Like, is this guy washing people's underwear?
He's definitely a laundry guy.
I was thinking laundry guy, right?
100%, and he's in the laundry. And he's
sniffing people's underwear. He's definitely sniffing underwear.
Yeah, this is a guy that likes his private time where he's folding laundry and being creepy. Absolutely.
Nice.
Okay, do you think that Avril Lavigne has petitioned the governor of Illinois to try to get him to release this guy?
I wonder if Avril Lavigne knows he exists.
Do you think she can't sleep at night? Like, she's like, man, I caused a murder.
If she knew about it, it would be because, like, somebody did a quick Google on Avril Lavigne and this showed up.
Right.
Like, Avril Lavigne, Chicago.
Yeah, in 2011, she probably would have had it pop up if she's looking at the internet.
Yeah, but I gotta imagine that she probably tried to stay away from thinking about that at all.
Yeah, unless, and clearly, there's no fault for Avril. She did nothing.
No, but you gotta wonder that. You gotta wonder how she feels about it.
And it's the same as, it's not the same, but my mind was thinking, was it, I don't know why I'm thinking Metallica. I don't think it was, though, where, like, people were stomped to death in the audience.
It was a big band.
7 Mary 3?
Maybe.
But my point is, that's not their fault either, but you would feel guilty for life, right? Like, so it's like,
oh, yeah.
Right? This is a little different, though. It's like, Avril has no, like, you can't just stop having concerts because someone might kill someone over a ticket. Like, that's...
No, I'm sure she doesn't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Because she, nothing about, what she's done or choices she's made led this guy to do that. But I wonder I wonder if you're right, that if he's reached out to her at all, and, like, you know, if she's seen, like, some creepy, blood-soaked ransom note-type letters sent to her, like, I love you, Avril.
I love you, Avril, so much that I killed my mother, so we're basically a couple. That's how that works. You kill someone, or if you kill your mother to try to see someone, that person is now your wife. That's, like, law. It's common. That's called common law.
I don't know if that's transitive property. I'm not sure that's how common law works. I'm going to look it up.
I think that's, like, in the bylaws. Bylaws.
Bylaws?
Whatever, bro. You know I don't know what I'm saying. I speak nonsense.
I think you do. So, no, this dude was a psychopath.
Well, that's the thing. This was a psychotic outburst, right? So, I mean, you can have those from mania, but, like, it's possible he had comorbidities, too. Like, it's possible he had more than just bipolar disorder.
I don't know.
This is an extreme psychotic outburst.
Yeah, it is. And you wonder what kind of care he was getting. And so he had some diagnoses, but, like, are they accurate? And was he seeing anyone on a regular basis?
Right.
Because we can all guess, like, people love to guess at what kind of mental health issues that they suffer from. You hear people talk about their anxiety or their OCD or their, I'm a little bipolar, I'm up and down. But most of those people aren't actually being diagnosed with anything. They're not seeing anyone about it.
Right.
It's just that they've heard what, they know what the word anxiety is.
Right, they know symptoms, and if they've got a couple of them, then that's what they call it, yeah.
Right. And I actually kind of hate when people say, I'm really OCD about this stuff. Like, well, that's not... No, you're co-opting this serious mental health issue that causes people, to... not
life-altering, yeah.
Yeah, that's not the same as you liking your bathroom.
No, people with extreme OCD, it actually functionally impairs their daily life activities to where they have issues with relationships, with holding jobs, with education, like, it's life impacting. So, yeah, if you wash your hands 5 times a day when you work at a dirty job, you don't have OCD. You're trying to stay clean because you have a job that's dirty, right?
Yeah, you have priorities. Yeah. You like things a certain way. That's not the same thing as someone having a compulsion that they logically don't want to have and know that they don't need to do, but cannot keep themselves from doing it, and it hurts them. It hurts their lives on a regular basis. And so, yeah, when people call out those terms, it really does, it does damage to our understanding of mental health.
Right.
Like, to say, I'm bipolar, no, you just have good moods and bad moods, like most of us do. That's not the same thing as having...
Right, and you may be, but you need to go to a psychiatrist to determine that.
Right. And if you really do think you need care, and this is a guy who needed care, and I don't know what he was getting. I don't know what, if mom made that a condition of him moving back in with him, or with her, or if they were even able to get care.
Right.
If
he's not being medicated, too, then he was definitely taking time bomb. Or if he was drinking, right. If it was his cognac, right? Like, alcohol negates the effects of most medications, and it exacerbates things like mania.
Yeah, and this doesn't seem like a guy who's on a healthy regimen.
Right.
So, yeah, he very well could have been.
Yeah.
I do want to say, too, from the DSM standpoint, right? Like, diagnoses are never perfect, and that's why the DSM, they're on the DSM-5 now, and it changes all the time, and I don't mean like yearly or anything, because it takes a long time to build up what needs change since or on the DSM-5 now. But my whole point of that is they're kind of leaning more so in a lot of different diagnoses, like autism, right, is now all straight, like spectrum, right? Like Asperger's and autism, they're all spectrum. And the reason is because no one's symptoms and any diagnoses are the same. However, we do need to have diagnoses because it helps for things like for having uniform treatments, right? And for making sure that you actually can get insurance. Without a diagnosis, a lot of times you can't get insured for the medications that you would need to treat something. So it is important that we have diagnoses. However, you have to understand that for every human being, their symptomology is going to be different, and no one's bipolar is the same as someone else's bipolar. So it's kind of hit or miss to know what's going to happen with somebody when they have a disorder.
Well, and that seems like the best argument for ongoing care.
Yes.
That you're seeing someone on a regular basis, and so then, as you know, because we don't always see the changes that we have in our lives, like in our moods or in our behaviors. You know, our lives are constantly changing on day to day to day. We don't see the small things that change within us. But if we're talking with someone, or if we're in therapy, if we are regularly seeing a doctor and talking about how our medication is affecting us, then we have a better chance of catching those things when
right.
we do start to shift. When things are changing, we can say, this is making me really tired, or
right.
I'm struggling with my mood at work. I'm getting angrier at work than people. And then the therapist can say, okay, well, here are options. Let's deal with it now and not wait until you're bashing your mother over the head with a coconut.
Right.
Right, absolutely. And just to add to what I was seeing too about the diagnoses and about them being different in different people, a lot of people will say, well, then mental health is bunk, but you got to keep in mind it's no different than medical diagnoses. But I've had COVID, and Steve, we've talked about it. You had COVID, but you said you had no symptoms, correct?
Right.
I've had it twice that I know of, and the second time I was sick as hell. And one of the major symptoms they say for everyone is you lose your taste and smell, right? I didn't lose either of those. But my point is, you could have COVID and feel nothing. I could have COVID and I get like major flu-like symptoms. And then someone else gets COVID and they're losing their taste and their smell. And that's the only thing they're getting. Or they're getting a mixture. Like regular diagnoses of any disorder, medical or mental health, it's not going to be the same. It's not bunk. It just means that your body reacts differently to that disorder.
Well, people don't necessarily understand how science works, and psychology as well as, you know, immunology or any of this is science. It's you're constantly getting a better understanding of things, and you're constantly adjusting. And so, like, that's why you had so many people attacking doctors during the pandemic.
Yeah,
was because they're used to. There's so many health issues that we have been able to tackle and figure out in an efficient way, right? Oh, you have this, take this pill, you're good to go. Oh, you have this, we'll take this out of your body, now you're good to go.
Yeah.
And so there's so many times when science has served us well, when we're faced with a new challenge and we have to watch science go through those challenges in real time, it's like, oh, well, you don't know the answer right away? Well, then you're illegitimate. And that makes no sense. We have to constantly adjust and get better at understanding these things. Mental health, from when we were children to now, our awareness, our understanding of it is...
And acceptance, yeah.
Light years. Yeah. I mean, hell, during three generations ago, you know, they were still reading people's personalities based on the bumps of their heads.
Right, right.
Like the phrenology.
Phrenology, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is insanity.
Right. Sigmund Freud, who's the father of modern psychology, is what, 140 years ago when mm-hmm. he was writing about something like that? So incredibly young, and almost every one of Freud's theories has been debunked.
Yeah.
Since, though, it's not even that he, like, started... He just started our approach to addressing our minds in a different way.
Yeah. Freud kind of went from the person that everyone revered as the main source to he's kind of just the mascot because he started psychoanalytic theory, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He sort of represents it. And much like maybe Edison is to modern electricity, or, you know, like the modern, what he did was great, but
it wasn't Tesla.
As outdated as it gets, or, you know, well, yeah, it wasn't Tesla. But yeah, it's, you know, and so there's so much work to be done in the field, and there's so much work to be done, within ourselves. And a lot of people don't understand. They think that the mental health should be the same way that, like, you know, bronchitis is. You take this medicine, you drink a lot of water, and in 3 days you're good to go.
Yeah.
And it's just not the same thing. We have to constantly be working on ourselves. And and recognize when we need help.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind that when we were talking about him moving in with her, it says she resisted, but she was pushing him to seek more help for his problems. So there's a very, very good, clear sign there that he's not medicated, not seeking therapy. So with bipolar disorder, he's a time bomb.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mentioned my wife's cousin who has schizophrenia. That was one of the things, like, he was not allowed back to within the family. This was years before I ever entered the family, but he was not allowed to be a part of anything until he was regularly medicated and having regular care. And that was a choice that he had to make when he, you know, because so much of mental health treatment is up to the patient. The patient has to understand the need for getting better. It has to want it.
Right.
Because otherwise you can't medicate someone against their will. You can't put them in therapy against their will nothing will happen.
Yeah. This dude, I don't think had that kind of awareness. I don't think this dude had that kind of awareness. If they're like, so this probably is coming from your bipolar disorder. He's like, it wasn't the bipolar disorder. Mama wouldn't buy me the Avril tickets. Right? Like, he doesn't have that self-awareness.
And my mom and Avril Lavigne.
Yes. Yeah, this is between me, mommy, and Avril. Get off my back. Someone get Avril on the phone. She knows. I sent her my underwear. Well, I mean, we all sent Avril our underwear. Let's not judge him for that.
You know what? Somebody's going to isolate that part of the audio, and they are going to have a field day with you, Ben.
Nice.
They're going to attack your credibility right there. Be careful.
Nice.
Be careful. Let's make sure it's clear that you have sent your underwear to no one, correct?
that's true. No one wants my underwear.
Is it? Are you sure? You've never mailed your underwear to
I've actually been wearing the same pair since I was 12, so I've sent it to no one.
That's disgusting. But not. I see. The problem is, Ben. I can't say no. I can't say it's for sure wrong. You've always had kind of a funky smell.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, did we do the thing?
I think we did the thing. Pod people, did we do the thing? I think the thing is done.
I think Mr. Lyons has been given the shibusiness.
Yeah, Mr. Lyons, he growled like a lion and went out like a lamb.
Ha! No, we can't end on that.
Yeah, you're right. We can't end on that. What do we got? What do we got?
Let's see. It looks like Mr. Lyons went down like Drano.
Down like Drano. He's clearing that drain. We put a wrap on it. All right, pod people. Thank you for joining us for the Robert Lyons adventure. And go out and search the internet for the Avril Lavigne concerts that are coming around. This is an Avril plug. And as always, you can find us on ThroughTheAbyss.com and Through the Abyss Podcast on any platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, some other ones I've never heard of. But yes, I've heard of you guys and we love you, etc. Thank you guys for joining us. As always, keep it real. Thank you, Steve, for this adventure.
No problem.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See you next week, guys. Spooky stuff.